On today's episode, we are back with our Deluxe Resort series, and today we are covering Disney's Contemporary Resort. This is episode 118 of the Off the Monorails podcast. Good evening, everybody. Good morning, whatever time you are listening. Salutations. This is your boy, Justin, and I am joined, as always, by my two colleagues, Jordan and Ryan. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Fellas, what's going on?
Yo, yo, yo.
It's been a fantastic day. How's everything going with you guys? Anything new?
Nothing too new for me, from my end. Just getting ready for the summer, you know? School's almost over, so we're gearing up for those
indeed
summer itineraries. We've got some trips. We are just returning. Well, by the time that this episode airs, we'll be returning from a little weekend during May the 4th weekend over at Disney. So we'll be talking about that soon, maybe on next week's episode. But yeah, other than that, man, we're just getting ready for the summer. Ryan, what's going on in your neck of the woods?
Yeah. Same thing. At time of recording, actually, we just finished our check-in, our 30-day check-in prior to sailing on the Disney Wish. So at time of this release, we are a mere 10 days, I believe, upon my sailing. So there's going to be a lot to come of that. And, you know, Jordan's already given us the gauntlet of what to expect. So I'm going to pretty much just pick up where he left off and add my flair to it, see what I can get into. We have an extra day on our itinerary, so maybe I can squeeze in a couple of extra things. And just looking forward to it. And same thing, brushing up the summer itinerary. New work schedule this year, so a lot of free weekends for me now, so this could be a whole new dynamic for summertime for my family and our Disney obsession.
All positives. You love to hear it.
Yeah, so exciting. It really is.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we were going through the calendar earlier today, actually. I'm like, all right, so we're doing that then. Well, that's the summer. Like, it's
things are lining up.
It's done. Back to school.
I'm booked. Like,
yeah, everything's ready to go. Like, okay, well, there goes my wallet.
Yep. Now it's time to work to pay it back off.
All right. No, it's all good. It's all good, right?
It's just money.
It's just money. It is just money.
The government prints it every day, so why not spend it?
Exactly.
Very true.
I'll spend it for the memories.
There you go.
That's what I'm talking about. So let's not waste any more time. Let's go ahead and jump right on in to our coffee break. Ryan, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Justin. As Justin mentioned, our coffee break, this is our news and banter portion of the show. This is just where we kind of kick things off and loosen up and warm up these lovely vocal cords of ours. So,
Testing.
Yeah, there you go. Check. 1, 2. This coffee break is always brought to you by our good friends at ExpeditionRoasters.com. If you like gourmet-style coffee that is theme park and pop culture inspired through flavors and artwork on the bags, the artwork is amazing. So, side note, they're fun to look at, and they're even more fun to drink. But, they've got it all. You can get whole bean. You can get them ground up and sent to you. And all you got to do is dump them in the brew pot. But I tell you what, there's not a bad roast they make, and I know we've made it through the catalog already one full rotation and about to start it all over again. So what I'm going to do, and this is what you should also do, is use our affiliate link in the episode description and use code OFFTHEMONORAILS at checkout, and that will save you 10% on every order in the future that you use that code, and also get your cart to $65 or more, and that will earn you free shipping in the U.S., and also join their Beans Rewards program. Join the Coffeeverse like the rest of us cultured people and earn yourself some rewards points towards free coffee. And you can start the vicious cycle all over again and just get some good coffee and save money at the same time. So once again, that's expeditionroasters.com. And fellas, what kind of news and banter do we have today?
Well, at first I thought you were going to go, if you like pina coladas, because we were just talking about the cruise and I was in the island mood. Ooh. But sorry, you didn't. So
missed and getting caught in the rain. Damn.
Well, Jordan, I know we have actually talked about this prior in many episodes, and specifically dealing with the Grand Floridian. But Victoria and Albert's has been awarded another Michelin star.
Yeah, I saw that. They just got that. And yeah, good for them. I mean, if you think that one Disney restaurant would be deserving of it, you would automatically think, you know, Victoria and Albert's. So, I mean, I don't know why they didn't have it previously, at least from the last, you know, last rating season, but yeah, good for them. It's good. You know, there's a few others in my opinion that could also sneak in there, in the Disney area. So stay tuned, see what they do it for their kind of, you know, seasonal lists and see if any others get added to it.
Yeah, certainly it's got to be the $100 bottle of Alpine Glacier water that really just did it.
Do the trick. Yeah.
What's the quote from the Water Boy?
It's clean. No, it was blessed by an Eskimo medicine man. That's why it's so special.
It's from the glaciers.
It's always cold.
It's always cold. Vicky Valancourt.
Her name is Vicky Valancourt.
Something's wrong with his medulla oblongata. Alligator's an honorary, got all them teeth and no toothbrush.
You wrong, Colonel Sanders.
Mama said it's the happy rays of sunshine when you're feeling blue.
Damn.
Oh, God.
So, Jordan, you sent a screenshot the other day.
Oh, sorry. And oh, not that one. Okay.
No. So you sent a screenshot the other day that really caught all of our attention of the popcorn buckets that Tokyo Disney Resort has recently shared. Man, the Peter Pan one is just eating at my soul.
Yeah, they're open to Fantasy Springs soon. Actually, by the time this episode releases, I think it's like the next weekend.
A couple of weeks.
So they've started, you know, rolling out more previews of the merchandise that they're going to have and special things. And included in this was the some popcorn buckets themed to the different attraction pieces of that Fantasy Springs land. You had, the Big Ben Tower from Peter Pan. It lit up and, just looked awesome. The lanterns from Tangled. And then you had this like kind of castle ornamental style piece for Frozen, but blown away.
Yeah. We talked about this a few episodes ago about seems like all the other theme parks get the super kick-ass popcorn buckets, and Disney World's kind of just stalemated with like a couple of designs that have been cutting edge. Man.
Yeah. We were talking about Pixar Fest over in California. That's when this came up. Yep. You're right, Ryan. This is just another example. Just another example of like, come on, what do we do to deserve this?
Yeah.
You know, it's like we're not even getting the the time of recording, right? This we're getting the Star Wars the Stormtrooper helmet for May the 4th, right? But it's not even gonna be in Florida for May the 4th. It's gonna be sometime later in May or June.
Yep.
So like what? It doesn't take that long to ship them over here.
There aren't any, I don't know, collectible popcorn buckets even for sale in Magic Kingdom right now. Like the past couple of times that I've been in the last month, it's just the standard, like, you know, plastic design popcorn buckets with just like a giant cup with a lid.
Yep.
There's not even like an overflow of older collectible popcorn buckets. It's a sad time.
Well, maybe they're saving up for Tiana's launch.
I mean, yeah, I'm sure that they better have like three different designs for that, because
yeah, we talked about that too.
Yeah, Yeah, we've already our intentions and expectations.
Well, and Ryan, just get ready because the Wish does carry some of the exclusives.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I think one of my daughters is leaning towards bringing the Figment bucket and just really flexing on people. I don't know how bad they want to do it. We'll see.
Yeah, yeah. My one regret was that I didn't get the Donald Easter sipper because I have the Halloween Donald, I have the Christmas Donald, and I could have gotten the Easter on the ship, and I didn't do it, and now it's gone. So. Unless they, Ryan, if they happen to have any left over while you're there, you know, since you is, you know.
Hey, don't tempt me with a good time. I'll complete the collection for you.
I appreciate that, sir.
So we notice stuff with Disney all the time, and we always say, pay attention to the big picture. Have you guys noticed the love that Bluey is getting here lately?
Deservedly so.
Yeah.
Deservedly so. I mean, if I don't know if you guys have watched the episodes that are attracting all the attention
every day,
but man, the season finale of season three, The Sign. I mean, everyone's talking
about
it.
When they sell the house, bro. All in the adult feels,
dude. Well, and we just went through this not too long ago. I mean, late last year, we sold our first home, and it was the house that we brought both of our kids home to from the hospital, right? Mm-hmm. Saw, you know, where they learned to walk.
Became a family, you
know, and it became, yeah, had all these things. We welcomed new life. We said goodbye to loved ones as well. And we spent there's a lot of different memories made during our time in that house. And to see, you know, to go through that and then go through it with the kids and, you know, deal with that emotion, right? And then to watch that and sitting there, I'm like, man, this feels like this all over again.
Yeah.
It was very moving, very touching. And man, what an excellent show.
Yeah.
What an excellent show.
They do a good job of channeling the real aspects of life. And whether that be through kids watching it, or of course they know the adults that are stuck watching it with the kids. They implant the adult aspect so tastefully in there. And I mean, you really get something from that show. And I mean, like
from every episode, yeah. I, in my opinion, it's a show for adults. It's a show for parents. That it's not a show teaching kids how to play or anything. It's a show built for parents to show them how to parent, mm-hmm. or at least like how to deal with certain things while parenting. And that, I think it's almost in the fact that you're not alone in some of these things that you're going through.
Yep.
I know, you know, we deal with all these different things. I've got a house full of boys. Ryan, you got a house full of girls. Justin, you've got a boy. It's like we all feel these different dynamics all the time. And sometimes it feels like you're on this island and you're like, Jesus, like what is happening? Like what am I doing? What am I doing wrong? What do I need to do better? What's the answer? And then you see these episodes and then you talk, of course, you know, we talk to other people and other parents and it's like, oh, it's not just me. I'm not alone. And, oh, here's some things some ways to maybe try to deal with some of these things. It's such a refreshing show. And I've loved seeing it evolve and grow and the fandom grow with it. We were early adopters of the show and
yep.
Yeah, I'm glad that it's a part of our family now.
So another thing we have also predicted, and I want to say we called this about a year and a half ago, fellas, mm-hmm. but it's taking its first step in Disneyland. And we're talking about Autopia.
Yeah. What the hell, man?
They are converting from gas to electric vehicles by 2026.
Remember when they had to close Tomorrowland Speedway and they closed out that track when they were building Tron, and then they, you know, it was down for what, 4 months or so, mm-hmm. 5 months, mm-hmm. and we screamed, "Hey, Disney, this be a perfect time to say, hey, maybe we should get like a corporate sponsor of like Tesla or something, and you know, convert all these cars to electric instead of." the Smog.
Easy Go or Club Car or something that specializes in electric motors.
Something. Nope. Brought them all back. All the same. Just carbon monoxide everywhere.
You remember the tagline of that? It's nothing says progress in tomorrow like carbon monoxide.
I don't get it. And then it's like, oh, okay, now we're going to convert these, but in Autotopia over in Disneyland first. I'm like, guys, you had your chance. You had a perfect opportunity. You already had closures done and ready to go. Yeah. Like,
you pissed with the wind to your back, and you still got it on your shoe.
Somehow, some way.
And again, chalk another one up in the W column for the OTM boys, because we literally called this. We said this was going
to
happen.
I mean, yeah, no brainer, but apparently it was to them, at least for Walt.
Apparently there's a bunch of no brainers in Orlando.
That's why we can't have nice things.
That about wraps it up for the news segment portion. However, I don't want to go another minute further here without all of us acknowledging that at time of release of this episode, it is Mother's Day weekend. So to all the moms out there, including our very special moms, happy Mother's Day. Enjoy your day.
Yep.
Yes.
All the moms in our lives, that being our wives, significant others, you know, they do a lot behind the scenes to make sure this thing keeps going and none of it goes unnoticed. Because it does take some time and dedication while in the parks and on property to go and maybe snag this piece of content while you still have a family in tow. And honestly, at times they've gathered content for us and given us ideas. So big thank you to all of the lovely ladies that are in our lives that contribute to this show, because it never gets unnoticed and it's most certainly appreciated.
For sure.
Could not agree more. All right, gentlemen, so without further ado, we are going to stroll our way into the topic of the day, and that is covering another part of our resort series with the deluxe resorts.
Just rolling right along, rolling on the monorail.
The monorail, yes, sir. And we're on the last stop of the monorail loop, so we are here at Disney's Contemporary Resort. Jordan?
Yeah. Thanks, Justin. So as always with our resort series episodes, which, by the way, if you haven't listened to any of the others, go look in the back catalog. We've got a bunch of resorts. We started at the value resorts, did all of those. We went over to the moderate resorts, covered all of them, and now moved into the deluxe resorts. So we started with Animal Kingdom Lodge, and then we moved over to the Grand Floridian. Then Polynesian, most recent. And now, as Justin mentioned, the last stop on that monorail loop being at Disney's Contemporary Resort, which, funny enough, it's the original resort, the opening day resort, one of the two opening day resorts for Walt Disney World. So we're going to dive into some of the history of the Contemporary Resort, as we always do on these series. And then we'll kind of give you an overview of what you can expect if you were visiting the resort, if you were staying there, you know, the logistics of the resort itself, some of the foods options and things like that, and, you know, transportation, other things, and just some other maybe fun facts about the property. So with that being said, I'll hand it back over to Justin, who always takes the reins for the little bit of history lesson on the resort today.
So as Jordan mentioned, it is a day one hitter. We're talking 1971, October 1st. And, you know, it's got a grandeur to it that doesn't match any other resort, which is pretty awesome in my opinion.
It definitely stands out.
Yeah, it's got a monorail going through the damn thing to begin with. Like, that's just advanced beyond its, you know, years right out the gate.
Yeah, I will say, you know, growing up, you know, we were lucky enough to be able to go to Disney as kids, you know, quite frequently, and this is what I remembered, right? Like, as a kid, right, into, you know, into a early teen, late teenager, adult, before we started going back to Disney, right, as adults, I vividly remembered Contemporary Resort because of the monorail going through it.
So
it was always that one that stood out. I couldn't, you know, 10 years ago,
you couldn't name any of the other resorts, but you remember Contemporary.
Exactly. So,
well, and it's like, Justin, we've talked with our mom, and when they went in what, 73 or 74, that time, the monorail went through the Contemporary Resort. And you can only imagine, it still looks ahead of its time now. Imagine 50 years ago seeing that, and the fact that they were able to construct an atrium-style tower with a monorail going through it in the 70s. That shit had to be, like, just cutting-edge, seeing-in-the-future type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... you know, like some people would say that it's, you know, it's not contemporary for today's age. But exactly to that point, Ryan, like, this thing feels like an extension of, like, it feels like an extension of the World's Fair.
Yeah.
You know, when you think about how things were presented, like Carousel of Progress, all the things that Walt Disney was involved with. This feels like that type of signature, right? This was like a signature project. Like, this feels like something that would have been at the World's Fair.
Yeah, like his vision.
Yeah, it's so unique. And I don't want to take anything away from Justin, but yeah, sorry, Justin, if you would continue let's continue down some of this, some of the history of this thing.
And it's really cool because of the timeline and progression of this resort. So, there really weren't a whole lot of changes to the original design at all until we got into the 2000s. If you think about how the Polynesian was constructed, so the Polynesian was the other day one resort. If you remember back in covering that resort, they were created around the same time, and the Polynesian's rooms were slid into place, whereas the Contemporary were stacked on top of.
Mm-hmm.
And again, as we mentioned, it's an A-frame hotel. It was constructed in collaboration by Disney, the U.S. Steel Corporation, and the architect that was on the Xerox Tower, Welton Beckett.
Yeah.
So,
well, and
go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, just because I don't want people to this is a cool fact, and you mentioned it, but maybe people don't know, but these hotel rooms at the Contemporary, they weren't built on site. They're pods. No. They're modular.
Yeah.
And they were placed into, they were stacked into the tower. And so now there is a rumor that there was that, you know, they plan to maybe, you know, be able to swap them out, et cetera. There's debate on if that was actually the case, or if they were going to be permanent modules once they were placed in there. People will say that they couldn't remove them as planned. Again, it's still up in the air which one's which. But because of the settling of the soil, of the foundation, they couldn't. It did not allow them to now remove those modules. Those rooms.
Makes sense.
So take it whatever side of that coin you want to, but it's still pretty cool that they built all these things offsite, just like a cruise ship is done.
Yeah. And then, very much like a cruise ship,
and then
actually.
They just stacked them into that tower. Pretty, pretty crazy.
Yeah. Well, a weird thing that, like a fact that I seen was that the resort's, the modular rooms were put together at a rate of approximately 15 per day.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, obviously, if you're building 500 of the same room, once you get the first, like, 10 out of the way, then you kind of, you know, get a little better at you know, you kind of have, like, an assembly line type vibe going on. But still, I mean, you're talking in the 70s of being able to do this type of stuff at that rate. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's remarkable. I mean, I watched the, going back to the Wish, right? We watched the making of that ship documentary, and you see the crew, right? Doing, you know, making the rooms, right? Mm-hmm. You see them, the construction of and they're just, I mean, it's all assembly line stuff. And they got, you know, 10, 12 people on each room, and one's doing one specialty and the other's doing another specialty. And it's just like, it's just clockwork, right? And it's like all these machines assisting it, right? And it's just, take it back to these years, a couple decades ago now, right? 50 years plus, man, what that would have been like to be constructing these things. It's really something. And that's part of this. That's the part of me is like, no matter how old or, you know, out, even if you want to call it outdated, and we'll talk about some of the things that they've recently done to the resort to update it. This is still one of the huge reasons why the Contemporary stands out to me as a resort, right? Is the effort and the work that went into constructing this thing, and some of the history that it represents, of course. It's kind of that little beacon, right, of Disney history.
Yeah. Well, and like what Justin touched on, that the first real changes to the property didn't even happen until the early 2000s. There was a different section of the resort that was the North Garden Wing, and that's where now...
That didn't last long.
That's where present-day Bay Lake Tower sits. And... You know, at the time of, like, you know, the construction going on, Disney actually incorporated a condominium association for the property, and they basically just managed the units. And then that was in 2007, and in, you know, mid to late 2008, that's when things were getting unveiled, and the vacation club availability became a thing for current members. And then just a short month later, that's when new members could acquire new contracts for Bay Lake Tower. And from there, the rest is history.
Yeah. Shortly after they started selling the new contracts, the North Garden Wing of the hotel got demolished to prepare for the creation of Bay Lake Tower. And, Bay Lake Tower opened in 2009. So you think about between that stretch of time, so a stretch of 4, maybe 5 years, give or take, between 2005 and 2009, they created a wing, destroyed a wing, sold hotel units, sold contracts, had a condominium association take over for the management of the units, and built Bay Lake Tower. There was a lot of money getting tossed around right there, boys.
Sure was.
Oh, yeah.
Let's not even forget about the South Garden Wing that sits over there along Bay Lake as well, which is also really cool to me, right? As I remember as we first started coming back to Disney as adults and going through the monorail, I was like, you know what? Like, the tower's cool. The atrium would be cool. The main of course, you know, you want to be situated and see the theme park and stuff from the tower and be on the hustle bustle. But there's something about those garden wing rooms that just call me a little bit, and haven't stayed, you know, this is the first, this is one of the few Disney resorts that none of us have actually stayed in. We've visited plenty of times, but we actually have never stayed at this resort. And I think that's where I would like to stay. I mean, yeah, like I said, I'd like to stay in the tower, but there's something about those garden wing rooms, something about them.
A little touch of nostalgia, I would think. Like there's got to be some Easter egg items in those kind of older, untouched, slightly forgotten about rooms, you know?
Yeah, possibly. I don't know, just something about them. I think maybe they're the unsung hero a little bit, you know, like they're off in the distance a little bit. And, you know, they were the first DVC kind of area, you know, that you could go to. And I don't know. But let's talk about given us now with Bay Lake Tower opening in 2009, basically the last real big construction project to this resort. It did get a facelift, or you know, an update on theming a few years ago.
It did.
Basically in line with the 50th anniversary celebration, and got this whole theming, new theming overlay of the Incredibles, which is, dare I say,
looks incredible. Great.
Yeah.
Just
yeah. Very fitting too.
Looks great.
It is. It is. It definitely looks like it's something out of the Incredibles movie, really. And I mean, you think about the time period that the Incredibles movies are set in, this is the perfect yep. place, right? Yeah. So this is it is really cool. I think what the updates that they did to it, especially just on that ground floor lobby level, spectacular, right? Like it was just it brought new life to this resort that, you know, you could maybe say that it feels like an airport sometimes.
Yes, yeah, it definitely has a concourse feel to it.
Yes, yes. But, you know, it's part of that, right? The atmosphere. But when you walk in on that ground level, it feels charming. That mid-century vibe pulls through very well, and they lean directly into the history of the resort. And I think it's great. So let's talk a little bit about the layout and kind of, you know, the wayfinding of this resort. So we talked about the main tower being the centerpiece, right? Everybody, it's the first thing you see, obviously. Monorail going through it. You've got, as Justin mentioned, that northwest area is where Bay Lake Tower resides, and you of course can see that. Towering over Bay Lake, and then you've also got to the south, you've got the garden wing section, and then you've got the large convention center that kind of sits right there in front of the tower. So those are kind of your main pieces of the resort. You've got some pool areas and stuff like that on the backside on the Bay Lake side of the resort as well. The main tower, but yeah, it's the basically it sets you up as this like giant facade, right, of this complex that you pull up to, and it's like there's Bay Lake Tower, there's the main tower with the monorail going through it, and then you've got the convention center set over here. So it is it's a spectacle just to even like kind of drive up to, you know, it's just the giant courtyard area that greets you out front, and just it is one of those that you can feel it as you pull up to it, right? It just feels different.
It's very grandeur-esque.
Yeah, yeah. But not as like how we talked about for like the Grand Floridian.
Yeah.
Right? Or Animal Kingdom.
Yeah, it's more like, it's more of a swanky scale. Elegance than like a over-the-top yeah, elegance.
It's a posh. There's a poshness about it, right? It's sophisticated. Sense to it.
Very contemporary, actually.
Yeah. Yes. 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 It's isn't it kind of crazy how the theming goes with the name?
Yeah.
You know, like not just in the sense of design, but in the sense of the feeling.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
Well, like one of the striking things about the main like Grand Canyon concourse, that's the main atrium area where your monorail is located and Chef Mickey's in your shops, that you have almost 400 guest rooms that line the outer walls of each side of the atrium. And it's all, you know, access from the inside of the building. It's not from the outside, because the outside is all balconies for lake view or theme park view, whatever it may be.
Yep.
But they're all, you know, kind of stacked in like a staggered atrium style. So you get views of everything. Nothing's hidden. And you can look down into the shops, because there's really no roofs on anything. And if like one of the shops does have a roof, it's usually like kind of a see-through. So it's very, very open air vibe. And then, of course, you have a 90-foot Mary Blair mural that's just a striking phenomenon in there.
It's awesome.
I can, you know, just looking at that in person from the floor and looking up at it, to think somebody designed that by hand is beyond me, for one. But there's so many things in this resort that just get unappreciated, especially in that main concourse area.
And it's only gotten better with time. You know, like Jordan said, with the 50th celebration, you know, all those updates that were done there, the Contemporary actually really received a huge facelift during that time. And the color palette, everything got updated to it. And honestly, where it's sitting at today, I think is the best it's looked in 10 years, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That I remember when I first started coming to Disney again, it just looks so refreshing and looks so modern. I just really enjoy seeing where the Contemporary Resort is today. I think is exactly the vision Walt had.
Yeah. So a little bit about that atrium and some of the things you can see at, you know, Ryan, you mentioned the Mary Blair mural, and of course Mary Blair being a well-renowned artist and Imagineer that worked on a lot of projects, including It's a Small World and a lot of other animation projects. And the level of detail that there, you know, let's talk about those murals for a moment. The colors are so unique, yeah. Eye popping. There's a rumor that she may have been slightly colorblind, or, you know, slightly, you know, her color sense of colors was a little different than others. And so that's why she used different, yeah, you know, these kind of loud, crazy colors in her pieces of art, which you can easily tell a Mary Blair, you know, piece versus someone else.
Oh yeah.
They really do stand out. But let's talk about the one thing that stands out in that mural, Ryan, the five-legged goat.
Yeah. So there is actually, like Jordan said, a five-legged goat that is in this mural, and it is not the only goat, which makes it, you know, actually quite fun to find it. And it didn't take me long to find it, but yeah, it's kind of one of those anomalies that became a Disney staple, really.
Yeah.
So part of the backstory behind that was that the five-legged goat is a tribute to the Native American spirit, believing that nothing man creates can never be perfect. And that is, for we are in fact only human. And this is actually a quote from Mary Blair. And yes, it was an intentional mistake, and it was just to pay homage to sort of a spiritual connection to Native American culture. And I mean, honestly, you can definitely see some Native American culture inspiration throughout,
yeah, and that mural.
The mural through and through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Just absolutely. Lots of rustic colors and saturation. And
I would say the colors, yeah, alone.
Yeah.
That's great.
Well, let's go. Let's actually head back down. We're kind of jumped into the atrium area, but let's jump back down. We'll take the escalators back down to the first level of the lobby as we go through this resort, because that is the one thing about this resort and its layout is it's these multi levels that, you know, where you kind of end up on this escalator system or elevator system at first can be a little confusing, really. So if you're there, yeah, to visit, whether it's for a meal or just want to go check it out, it can be a little bit daunting to take on if you're unsure of what you're doing. So let's reset to the ground level lobby. We enter the doors. This is where you'll be greeted with the coffee bar that's on site here.
Yeah.
Which is always nice. I frequently stop into that one when we're by over
Absolutely.
Here.
Absolutely.
And then you've got the check-in desk and all that, and some nice seating. Again, love the new seating and everything that they've done with the theming. And then on the first floor, you also have the first dining option here at the resort.
If the smell hasn't hit you already.
And this is one of our favorites. We've mentioned on this program many a times.
Countless.
But this is where you could find Steakhouse 71. This was formerly the Wave restaurant. It was rethemed a couple years ago now. And again, kind of part of that 50th celebration. And so they it was recreated, rethemed, you know, redone from the ground up. And now is a steakhouse with, you know, acting as tribute to 1971 when the Contemporary was opened and Walt Disney World opened as well. And this restaurant is like a love letter to Walt Disney World, to the Contemporary, and to the history.
Yeah, and to Roy Disney. They pay a lot of homage to Roy Disney, who was the big proponent of Walt Disney World opening. That is on the heels of Walt's passing during the final years of construction for the Walt Disney World Resort. But yeah, it is literally a time capsule.
Yeah, it's great. And again, we've talked about this the food here a number of times on these episodes. So feel free, if you're in the if you're in the episode library and you stumble upon an episode, you might there's a good chance you'll stumble on some discussion around Steakhouse 71. Great food, great value, good for all ages. You have
good for any time of day, too.
You got breakfast. You got good breakfast. You got good dinner options. You can go into the lounge area and grab a late lunch as well if you want to. So really good options, and should always visit if you get the chance. Let's move up the escalators. The next landing that you'll come to is part of the convention center. So you'll be on this floor, has access to a lot of the convention center rooms. And one in particular there actually has some pretty significant value.
Yeah. The ballroom. That is where Richard Nixon's famous "I am not a crook" speech happened in 1973. And that was during the ongoing Watergate scandal that, you know, some of you older folks might be aware of, or some of you history buffs. But yeah, big piece of American history once again happening at a Disney resort. And man, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's cool to go to the America's Ballroom right there. You could see it. I mean, it still stands today as it did, you know, and it you'd be right there where this a giant piece of American history occurred. So yeah, it's pretty cool. So you've got a lot of the ballrooms and things like that for different conferences, different meetings, things like that. Here's you also have access to the second dining option that we're going to talk about today, and this access is literally an elevator, because this is where you check in for California Grill. And of course, California Grill is situated on the top level of the Contemporary Resort. It is one of the most sought after restaurants in all of Disney, because A, the food is a very fine dining establishment here. It's a good menu, and I think for the biggest reason is that they have a deck outside that you can go out and watch the fireworks at Magic Kingdom from. And no matter what time of day you dine here, you can basically validate and come back for the fireworks that later that evening and watch from there. So they have bar seating here. It's first come, first serve. You can go in there. And actually, what's funny enough is the lounge/bar area seating has like a la carte menus that you can order from. But if you go into the just standard dining area, then it's a prefix menu. Mm-hmm. So, and you can't order a la carte like you can in the lounge, but you can still get most of the menu options in the lounge or at the bar.
And it's a very strict dress code restaurant too. Like, I mean, sport coats and slacks and dresses. They definitely no hats. They definitely try to attain.
They have to attain
a certain vibe up there, because I mean, it literally is a vibe, that whole top floor.
Exclusivity.
Yep. Yeah. And I mean, the menus changed, post-pandemic, they've had a lot of different things, and maybe they'll revert back to some of the things of old.
Yeah.
We'll wait and see. But at the time of recording, this is what you got here at California Grill. Myself personally, still never been here to this restaurant. I know people who have. I know people that have been that loved it, you know, prior to the pandemic, and then have come back and have been disappointed somewhat, but with the changes. I also know of people that really like it still. So I can't wait to go here. It's definitely on our list to visit and to try. And, you know, then I can't wait to come back and let you all know at least my opinion.
Yeah.
All right. And then let's go back to the escalators going up another level. And this is where we'll find ourselves in the main atrium area, where you've got dining options, shopping options, arcades. You've got the elevator and access to the monorail. All this is us here on the fourth floor. And so let's go through some of the other dining options that are here. And this is, of course, home to one of our, what we believe is one of the most overrated dining establishments at Walt Disney World, but still pretty iconic. And that is Chef Mickey's. This is, of course, is a buffet style restaurant, character meals for breakfast and for dinner. And again, can be a hard reservation to get because it is so popular and it's been so long standing. But it's just, in our opinion, maybe not worth the money. We did discuss this restaurant a few episodes ago on our most overrated restaurant.
Yeah, boy, did we.
Yeah. So if you want to hear about this restaurant and some more of our thoughts about it and some of the others that we think are overrated, go check out that episode. That was a fun one.
And along with Chef Mickey's, you also have Contempo Cafe, which is their quick service option here. And we've, again, gone into in-depth coverage of this restaurant as well. Personally, my opinion, it's got decent value. You know, it's got your quick stuff, your hamburgers, your hot dogs, you know, in, out. Thank you, ma'am. I'm out. And honestly, I found that it's got great value for what you get there. Not to mention, you know, the ambiance of being there inside the Contemporary with the monorail passing over. There's what's not to love about that entire, you know, atmosphere, just enjoying a meal and then having
the monorail
pass right on through. Like, there's nothing like it. So
yeah, it is cool, right? You could
it's a little perk.
Yeah. But it's just average, right? It's just nothing. It's nothing great or crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing to write home about. Yeah. You know, it's just that it's got that little added extra flavor whenever you have the monorail passing through, and you got, you know, Chef Mickey's behind you. You got the noise of that. From time to time, you'll see the characters as they're in passing. So, you know, there's a little bit of a charm to it as well. And it's actually one of the cleaner quick service options as well on property, in my opinion, because of, you know, the location of it. Yeah. So take that for what it is. You generally won't see a whole lot of kids here either, in my opinion. Yeah. It's mostly generally, you know, teens and higher.
Yeah. And then the situation just to the side of it is the Outer Rim lounge, which is, I mean, it's a bar,
yes,
lounge area. Mostly it's all cocktails here. They have some mocktails as well, but this is full bar. And I don't think they even serve any type of food here. It is nice that it's situated right there alongside the bay side, the situated just on the Bay Lake side of that tower. So you can sit there and look out at Bay Lake. Pretty cool. Pretty cool vibes.
Yeah. Now that is one of the coolest parts about this, in this entire part of this floor. You can grab your meal and face the lake, mm-hmm, and just, you're in a whole nother world at that point, because you're not even thinking about seeing any of the traffic headed towards the Magic Kingdom, and you're not having, you know, the facades from Magic Kingdom and your view. You have nothing but clear blue lake. So What's not to like?
All right. Yeah. Also on this floor. So over there to the kind of toward the right is where all the food is located. Over to the left, as mentioned, you've got your arcades. You've got some stores as well. I know this is some of our favorite shops on property, in my opinion,
yeah.
Because you've got these, you know, kind of three shops all kind of bundled together, all of which, you know, it's kind of specialized in different, you know, different things. Some of the best Disney pins can be found here.
Mid to high end can be found
yep,
here too.
Yep. Yep. For sure. Yeah. So any Disney pin traders, if you're looking for some hard to get, some limited editions, things like that, go to the case here. I found some pretty good ones there. I have spent some money. Let's just say that, there at the shop, Lake Buena Vista Gifts, I believe is that shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got, like Fantasia Market is kind of like that one off to the side at the end of the atrium. And it's like where you can get your food and stuff like that for your rooms. They have frozen items. And then Bayview Gifts is the shop that's along the other side that kind of has all of your fancier Loungefly stuff. And then I don't remember the shop that's in the middle, that's like in the middle of the entire concourse, but that one's got all the good toys and some pins.
And then from there, it's all rooms. Everything else above this, besides the monorail boarding on the next level, it's from there, it's all rooms surrounding that atrium. So again, kind of that concourse style to it, right, where you can kind of just see all these walkways up, you know, up above you, and you know, all entrances to rooms. And so that is the main tower. That's it. So let's move over, like we said, situated over to the north of the main tower is Bay Lake Tower, which is the DVC portion of this resort. You can book these here with cash, or you can, you know, as DVC, you can book with points, or you can hit our friends up at dvcrentalstore.com and rent points and stay there, usually for less than, you know, usually for a lot less than what you can pay for with cash through Disney direct. So there's an affiliate link in the episode description. Go check them out if you're interested in staying at Bay Lake Tower for much cheaper than you can through Disney. And speaking of prices let's just throw out some of these, give you an idea of what the prices look like for not only for Bay Lake Tower, but also for the main tower and the garden wing rooms here at the Contemporary Resort. I just kind of give you an idea. I just picked a random Monday night in June. And just again, give you Monday night, not even a prime Friday night, Saturday night, or Sunday, a Monday night in June. So I did pick a little bit of a, you know, summer, but just give you an idea. A garden wing room will run you before tax, and this is just regular seasonal rates. Before tax is going to run you around $650 for the night. Main tower room will run you anywhere between $800 to $1,000, depending on your view. They also do offer club level rooms, which start around $1,100 per night. That, of course, includes some club level access with snacks and beverages and things like that included with your stay. And then you do have some other room types available, like the suites, so, you know, the vice presidential suite and things like that, which surprisingly are unavailable in my day selection of choice. So I guess it's booked up for this date in June. So I apologize.
Good
for them. Over at the villas, though, at Bay Lake Tower, a one bedroom villa with a theme park view, it's going to start around $1,200 and go all the way up to for a two bedroom around $2,000 a night, and a three bedroom grand villa will run you about $3,500 for the night. So if you want to save some money, if you still want to stay here, but you want to save some money on these prices, again, affiliate link in the episode description, dvcrentalstore.com. Click that link. They'll help you save some money, and great people.
One cool thing about Bay Lake Tower that sets it apart probably from some of the other villas is it has the closest proximity to Magic Kingdom than any other villas. And that's kind of what lends itself to the pricing, as long as well as the views. And fun fact, some of the bathrooms actually on the theme park view, they actually have removable partitions that allow you to watch the fireworks while washing your ass in the bathtub. Theme park view, that. Bay Lake Tower.
Hey, the option's there.
Yes.
Quickly go to pvcrentalstore.com and books a room with theme park view. With removable windows. Well, I was fixing to say,
you're not living if you're not rinsing soap suds out of your ass crack while watching fireworks just blast over Cinderella Castle and Space Mountain. That is big city living right there.
Nothing quite says you are home while hearing Happily Ever After while scrubbing your ass crack.
And in the spirit of Mother's Day celebration, thank you, Mom. Thank you for listening and enjoying the ass crack conversation.
I hope you're proud of me. So moving on to some of the recreation amenities that are available at the Contemporary Resort, one of the ones that I am quite struck by is the bass fishing. So you can take bass fishing charters on Bay Lake, Seven Seas Lagoon. I love fishing, and I know you guys do as well too, and we all love Disney. I think that would be a fantastic way to enjoy time at the Contemporary Resort. And that also kind of rolls itself into Bay Lake Marina, where you can rent pontoon boats and
splendid
take a cruise on the lake. We've done this at the Epcot area with Yacht and Beach Club. We've rented pontoons from there before. That was on our episode back in 2022, I believe, during the summertime around
July.
June.
Yeah. Around, no, it's July 4th weekend.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That was a great time. And I can only imagine doing that in the evening time on the brink of fireworks and being able to just cruise out there on a pontoon and drop anchor and watch some fireworks.
They have the specialty fireworks cruises too. Yep. Where you can hire the captain and they drive you. You can have up to, I think, 10 people and watch the fireworks directly there from there too, from the boat.
It's like a group of 10 and it starts at like around $400 bucks. So
it's great value, actually.
And it's great because all your passengers can share that one price. So it's not per person. It's just collectively.
I think we got some, I think we're making our own to-do list here with these recreation activities.
Yes.
Fishing, check. Boat, check. Fireworks cruise, check.
But there's also, there's two different pools on property. They're not the most striking pools ever, but let alone they are pools. And Bay Lake Tower has its own set. With a splash pad area and a water slide. And over by the South Garden area, there is also another pool that encapsulates a water slide. And you have, I believe, some tennis courts and I think there's a volleyball court that's on the sand that faces towards Wilderness Lodge. A lot of good outside stuff that you normally wouldn't think would be there because it's all hidden by the glitz and glam of the resort. But, man, there's some really good stuff out back. And I know we've actually went back there and taken pictures along the lake. There's some great photo spots.
Yeah, it really is picturesque. Yeah, I mean, the pools are, you know, they're a place to get wet and cool off, right, and relax. Yeah. They're not the best pools on property by any means. But
they weren't designed to be either.
No. Correct. But yeah, you want to talk about picturesque still, though, being cast right there on Bay Lake and just, it's hard to beat. It really is.
And like everything else around the Disney properties, you have Movies Under the Stars. Well, they'll showcase some of your favorite Disney films on a screen. I highly recommend doing this at least once during one of your stays. Trust me, it is such a good time and a unique experience. You also have the campfire options as well, where you can do some s'mores with with everybody. Usually about an hour, roughly, time frame where they do this. And it's also a good time to, especially if you pair it with the movies Under the Stars, get yourself some s'mores and then settle in. Man, what better way to do it?
Yeah.
They've got a fitness center, which we talked about, I believe, with Grand Floridian. And I think the Poly also, that they don't have fitness centers, but this one kind of stands alone with having a fitness center on site. And again, we've already talked about being picturesque. You have perfect views of the theme park for the fireworks, the nighttime spectacular. And you also have a beautiful view for the electric water pageant.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
And
yes.
That one gets right up there close and personal.
Yeah, and you're talking about something that with the water pageant that dates back to the original,
to the origins
of Walt Disney World, and it's still running today. And the only way to, you know, there's only a few handful of resorts you can see it from, and this is one of them. It's fantastic. And the viewpoint from here is great.
It's one of my favorite things, is looking forward to the electrical water pageant making its way out into the Seven Seas Lagoon. So it's just One of the things you always look forward to.
One thing also that I feel like it's part of the contemporary resort, because it's literally right beside it. But say you're driving your personal vehicle to the resort for maybe a dinner reservation or something, and you go past the road that gets you, I think that's Seven Seas Lagoon Road or whatever, I forgot what it's called, but you pass the road that gets you to Wilderness Lodge and Polynesian and Grand Floridian, and there's actually a bridge that holds water that goes over the roadway.
Yeah.
Where the boats from like Wilderness Lodge and Fort Wilderness traverse over. That, to me, that, I think that's so cool. And I don't know. I'm just weird like that. I think it's cool that there's a water bridge.
The kids love it every time we go, that we drive underneath it. You know, we always call it out because they're just so amazed, because we've been on those boats plenty of times, right? And it's like, oh, wow. Like, we're going driving in this, and it's 12 feet, you know, 10 to 12 feet of water. That's it. You know, it's pretty cool to think that as you drive under, like, oh, there could be a boat right there on top of us.
Yeah.
Pretty crazy.
It's the kid in me.
Yeah. And last but not least, we obviously want to touch on some of the transportation. Of course, monorail goes through this resort, so one of the main options you're going to take for this resort is the monorail. But keep in mind, you're probably not taking the monorail to Magic Kingdom. You'll probably be taking it back from Magic Kingdom, because it's the first stop from the Magic Kingdom monorail, but it is, you know, the Magic Kingdom is your last stop on the monorail, for, you know, if you take it, decide to take it to Magic Kingdom. But as we mentioned, one of the perks of staying here is the fact that it's so close to the Magic Kingdom. It's only a 10 to 15 minute walk from the resort to the gates of Magic Kingdom. So if you're staying here, then you're most likely walking to Magic Kingdom. As for other transportation options, you can, of course, take the monorail to the TTC and then transfer over to Epcot. So you can get to Epcot that way. And then they also do offer buses to the other theme parks. I don't know if they're running the boats yet, but they do have boats running from the Contemporary directly to Magic Kingdom. They used to also offer a boat option from Contemporary to Wilderness Lodge and to Fort Wilderness, which is also really cool, because then you could kind of go explore those resorts.
That side, yeah.
The old Disney pastime or resort hopping.
Yeah. I don't know if they have restarted that particular boat service yet, but the others they do. So you've got boats at your disposal to go to Magic Kingdom and back. You've got a monorail to go to TTC, to Epcot, or, you know, coming back from Magic Kingdom to the resort. You can walk, and you've got buses. I mean, it's probably one of the best transportation option resorts that there is.
Yeah.
But other than that, that is the Contemporary Disney
Contemporary Resort.
Yeah. It's again, iconic for sure, historic for sure. And one that, frankly, I hope they don't change. I think it is
They got it right the first time.
It's truly a piece of Disney history, and you know, I think it would be wrong for it to be changed too much. So, love the new updates that they've done with these rooms. They're, you know,
yeah.
Again, I have not walked into them personally, but seen plenty of video. Looks really nice to what they've done with it. It is a little bit pricey, but again, you get some of the perks like being able to walk to Magic Kingdom, you know, one of the busiest theme parks in the world. Having that walking distance away is pretty phenomenal. So it is one that we have on our list to stay at soon, and hopefully we get to do just that and let you know, check back in and let you know how it is.
Absolutely. We'll keep our eyes on that and making use of that. Again, we have great partners that we utilize to try and help with that. So don't forget, check out our partners at the World of DVC and all of those guys and their umbrella of partnerships that they have. Trust me, you'll save some money. Go look, give them a check. They've saved us a ton of money across all three of our families. So go check out worldofdvc.com and their other subsidiaries, specifically the dvcrentalstore.com website, and you can get yourself some good deals there. You'll find all of their information as well as all of our other affiliates and discount codes. All of that can be found in our episode descriptions at the bottom. Make sure you go show them some love. They are all supporters of our show, and we thank them very much for doing so. While you're also looking around, don't forget to follow us on all of our social media platforms. You can find us at Off the Monorails. That is at Off the Monorails across the board. YouTube, Twitter, X, if you want to call it X these days, Facebook, the whole nine yards. You'll find us there. Lots of YouTube content going up covering the cruise that Jordan has recently came back on. I know Ryan will be covering some more things, so we're going to have lots of cruise new information coming up here soon, so be sure to stay tuned for those, and as well as our many summer trips that we have accumulated and already have on the books. So we're going to have a lot of, you know, flower and garden coverage coming towards you, food and wine previews soon.
Yep.
Cross your fingers.
Woo. Yeah, it's coming.
We're looking forward to that, so be sure to stay tuned. We you know how we do things here. We are foodies to heart. We love our beer, we love our food, and we love talking about beer and food. So you'll find all that information here. You know where to find us. Share us with your friends, colleagues, coworkers, everybody. Do all the free things first. Like us, subscribe, all that. Take care of that quick, easy 3 seconds to do it. And then, again, share us with everyone you know, and help us reach a broader audience.
Yep. While you're listening on your podcast platform, go ahead and take time to give us a review or a rating if your podcast platform allows you to do so. It helps us reach a broader audience, and it puts us in the algorithm. And really, it just gives us some feedback that people are listening, and we love hearing what they think about the show. And we love the engagement across all platforms. We love hearing all the comments and response to our stories, our posts, whatever it may be. We have received some pretty humbling, enriching things from some listeners, and it really just keeps fueling us to do what we do. And we absolutely love doing this, and knowing that the general public gets something from it, it makes it all worth the while.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And this was a fun one to do. I love looking at all the history for this resort specifically, and glad we get to continue going down this resort series, because as someone that came back to Disney right as an adult, you know, we started to learn about these resorts, and you know, should we stay at them, and you know, is it worth the money, what does it offer. And so we've had the opportunity to stay at a lot of these resorts. We've had a lot of, you know,
firsthand.
We've had an opportunity to visit a lot of these resorts. And so I'm happy to be able to, that we can, you know, we have a platform now to share this information for someone out there that may be, you know, going through the same things we did years ago. So I'm excited for the next stop on this little adventure through the deluxe resorts.
Yeah. It's a bit of a sombering fact too, that we're kind of, you know, old heads in this game now. We're 100 episodes plus deep, and we're kind of winding down to the last few resorts that are left in the catalog. And I mean, we've been working on this now for over 2 years, getting all these resorts knocked out, and to know we're getting kind of towards the end of it, man, it's like a chapter closing of this show. Like, you know, we're getting up there in age.
Yeah, you just reminded me. Like, we had some time in between our last resort series coverage, and now you're bringing it up. We only have, you know, we're almost down to one hand left. Yep. You know, counting down. So, man, we've covered them all, and all of them extensively. So if you're looking for anything in particular, please go back in our catalog, go find the resort that you're looking at, and go listen to what we've, you know, detailed and found from our own findings by visiting and staying there ourselves, as well as definitely getting all the right information from people that may have stayed there or firsthand knowledge, like I said, from ourselves. So please dig back up in our catalog and experience those, and let us know if it helped you in planning your trip. Well, gentlemen, I think this about wraps it up for this weekend. Again, we want to shout out to all the mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day weekend to you guys. Enjoy your day. This is all about you guys. So treat your mothers good. Get them a little chocolate. Give them a little card. Let them know you're thinking about them.
Book a trip to Disney for them.
There you go.
There you go. That's what we're talking about.
Mom, in closing, if you're listening, you see the way my bank account's set up. I got a checking, I got a savings.
You already know. And with that, gentlemen, that brings us to a close on this episode. We'll see you guys on the next resort series. I'm Justin.
I'm Jordan.
And I'm Ryan.
And this is Off the Monorails.